2022 sudah pasti melihat kepada bagaimana untuk Malaysia bangkit kembali pasca cabaran berganda pandemik COVID-19 memasuki tahun ketiga untuk 2022 dan juga bencana banjir yang melanda kebanyakan ataupun 8 buah negeri yang masih pada masa kini masih lagi berlaku di beberapa buah negeri. Dan kita lihat ini amat membimbangkan sekali, dan untuk melihat bagaimanakah ini menyumbang kepada kedudukan ekonomi semasa dan apakah langkah seterusnya untuk memulihkan ekonomi dan penstrukturan yang kita mahukan, yang kita gariskan di bawah rancangan Malaysia ke-12 dan juga bajet 2022. Itu yang ingin saya bincangkan pada jam ini. Saya nak bersama dengan pakar ekonomi Marco Aurelien Mortain, yang juga merupakan bekas ketua ahli ekonomi bagi beberapa buah bank sebelum ini dan juga kini menguruskan Rising Success Consultancies yang berhad serta dilantik menjadi pakar industri bagi Universiti Kebangsaan Malaysia. Good morning, Mr. Marco Aurelien. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Najib, for the opportunity given.
All right. First of all, Mr. Marco Aurelien, 2 years after the pandemic followed by the catastrophic flood, this is clearly a double challenge for all of us, Malaysians. Our focus is to revive the economy, and there must be a chain of reaction to the people. Through 2022 budget and also the 12th Malaysia plan, what are the main things that must be resolved immediately in 2022?
Okay, the policies are in place, you know, policies are drafted, you know, under the budget, as well as, also the 5-year plan. So, but the thing is that we have to be seriously looking at the effective implementation of policies and also to stem leakages from the system. Very important. That will help the chart the growth forward in the coming years. Okay, and we are not sure. Okay, we have gone through the 2 years of COVID-19 experience. Now another, we are not sure whether it can be effectively resolved in 2022. Most likely there will be another challenging year ahead, so people got to learn, from the experience. Also the government got to learn from the experience and move forward, reset the economy.
Mr. Marco Aurelien, not only do we want to do economic recovery for our for Malaysia, but we want to build resilience because the pandemic is not over yet. Any shock in terms of movement restrictions or order will once again push down our economy, and ultimately the people's pocket economy will be affected as well. Are our policies at this point of time focused enough on building resilience?
Building resilience, I think in terms of the health system, and also focus must be given on rebuilding the economic investment capital in the economy itself. Because if you think, if you look at it, for the past 2 years, government has been changing. As such, the investor confidence have been narrowing, getting weaker and weaker. And those things are important, but I think in terms of investor sentiments, media got to play a very important role. Apart from the politician itself, media should not should be sort of like highlighting more of the good things rather than the shortcomings. Always. I mean, any economy, like if you look at it, Philippines, Indonesia, all these also have gone through the pandemic, and they are rebuilding their economy with the help of the politicians as well as the media. If you look at it, I will back to the politicians. Please be united and let's move forward rather than giving pressure, this policy no good, that policy no good, and all that. give them a chance. Give them a chance. All these policies will likely to work on. If we look at it under the budget, under the budget 22, it is clearly stated that there are some of these policies are really going to be effective with the return of the high-speed railway, as well as the building of Pan-Malaysia, Borneo, and also if you look at it, the local scene, you can see the MRTs, extension of MRT services. Okay, all these are although are mega projects to a certain extent, but I think we need that in order to propel the economy going forward. And each time we come across some new variants and all that, don't get panic. I think even the Omicron, I think it is overblown, that Omicron will kill the people and all those things. So scaring only. So this is scaring away the economic activities going forward. Please, I just hope the government will not close down the economy or another lockdown in the making because of Omicron and all that.
All right. Mr. Manokaran, to revive the economy, we need to spend, and the government is facing great pressure as they are facing difficulties to collect higher revenue due to the PKP instated, but at the same time they have to spend a lot. But the government's focus is expansionary fiscal policy. If this is not balanced properly, it will have negative consequences of a longer period. How long is the appropriate time frame for us to implement this expansionary fiscal policy before the government must immediately return to control its fiscal and deficit as well?
I think the government will have a challenging time in refocusing on the spending part. I believe that the government got to strategize on a need-based system, which are the spendings immediately needed, expansionary spending will likely to continue, but not for the sake of we are spending, that kind of thing. I think the most important thing, like I said just now, we have to stem the leakages. There's too many not so good news flying around. There's leakages here, leakages there, that kind of thing. So expansionary projects, we have no choice. We have to go through. But the price we pay will be the widening fiscal deficit. For the time being, the widening fiscal deficit in the short term should be okay. But, after that, the government should tighten in order to bring down the fiscal deficit to around 3-4%. At the moment, it's around 6%.
Mr. Manokaran, structural reforms are crucial for Malaysian economy because the problems we face today, such as the lower salary, semi-skilled labour, etc., occurred even before the pandemic. We cannot achieve structural reform overnight, obviously. But however, the first step is crucial, and the periodic reviews should be done, and we should be able to change course immediately if our policy runs out of target. How do you foresee the political will in terms of these aspects?
The political will is lacking, in terms of structural reform. I would target, I would suggest a few, a couple of structural reforms needed, like in the case of building future graduates, who are tailored appropriately with the industry needs. We need to relook at the education system. Okay, education system at the moment is like in the tertiary system, especially. I would say that you need to have at least 1 year of internship with the industry, rather than you only study from the university. At the moment is what the university's structure is. 3 years, of course, and you have got 3 years. Within the 3 years, you have maybe about 6 months of internship training, industrial training, which I think after the training is nothing to follow up. What I suggest is all the industries' education must be converted into 4 year degree program, whereby 3 years in the universities and 1 year will be there, will be at the industries, at the industries, and the government should negotiate with the industries that these guys come to you as an intern. Okay, that's maybe the year, the internship year, maybe 50% is from the industries, 50% from the government. Okay, and you tell them that, you know, you absorb at the end of the training, you will have some kind of incentive, tax incentives or anything like that. So in that case, the graduate who's coming out of the university, he is not going to be jobless. Because at the moment, if you look at it, youth unemployment is one of the highest, okay? And especially the graduate unemployment, some 150,000 to 200,000 of graduates are unemployed. And the reason recently the MEF has mentioned that language is a problem. I think if language is a problem, then the universities could tailor some kind of short courses in the languages, you know, so that the undergraduates, you know, master the language. Okay, that's one, the education. The other thing is I'm coming to human resource, human HR development programs. So, hey, HR ministry is doing, you know, train and place, or place, I mean, or those things are a right attitude, whereby the people at the moment, they can sort of like upskill and reskill their employment and go for a higher income paying income jobs. This is very important. Okay, the government is doing that. Okay, so these are some of the structural reforms you need. And also, the government got to prioritize, you know, some of their spending. At the moment, is if manufacturing contribution to GDP has come down from 32% to around 22% very lately. I would say that if manufacturing, you need to sort of like modernize the manufacturing industries. In other words, focus must be given on high skill and higher technology type of IR 4.0 type of manufacturing activities, smart manufacturing. We need that. We must move away from the input manufacturing. And the other sector that we need to focus could be the services sector. And services sector at the moment is contributing about 52% or 55% of the GDP. Okay, then we must increase the contribution to around 60 to 65, as we have seen in places like, you know, in economies like Singapore, in other Vietnam and all these other economies are moving towards a higher GDP contribution from the services sector. Okay, that is, like we, Malaysia, we have got abundant services opportunities, and for sure, we can move forward. And these are the structural reforms. And in order to do the structural reforms, the government got to have a stronger willpower to do that. Rather than, when they want to do something and they get politicized then they step back. I think that's not fair.
All right, Mr. Manokaran, we certainly need more time to discuss about the restructuring and also the fiscal policy position right now. Thank you, but that's all the time we have for this morning. Thank you so much for joining Niaga Awani this morning. Mr. Manokaran Mountain yang merupakan pakar ekonomi, kita membincangkan tentang bagaimanakah kedudukan fiskal dan apakah kedudukan ekonomi yang kita jangkakan, dan yang paling penting adalah penstrukturan besaran yang kita perlukan untuk memulihkan ekonomi pasca cabaran berganda yang dihadapi oleh ekonomi pada masa kini. Baik, sekian sahaja Niaga Awani. Semua ini anda boleh saksikan di laman web kami astroawani.com, dan juga pelbagai perkembangan lain kami juga muatkan di astroawani.com juga. Sekian sahaja, saya Najib Arof. Assalamualaikum dan salam hormat.